Doc Lee's here, the podcasting beast from the east, with the Professor John Guy, the King of RNG, the Troll Master, the Data Analyzer, and the Conqueror of his own fate. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Terminator, Professor Omega, the Cleaner, Prophet Damas himself. How you doing there, sir?
Wunderbar. That's how I'm feeling. Absolutely wonderful. But I'm also the wise man for our tribal chief. The head of the table, the reigning, defending, undisputed podcasting champion of the world, the guy who takes with his teeth, chew them up, and spit them out. Los Tranquilo himself, Doc Leister. How you doing, man? You're already halfway through the week.
I know, hump day. I feel pretty good there, boy. How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling much better than yesterday. And I do apologize for the folks out there yesterday. I was dealing with some things, so Doc kind of had to, you know, get tagged in, hold the reins. And of course, it was way more entertaining with that guy than just the humble wise man himself. Because we have to follow the buzzards, and we also need to follow our tribal chief as well. But Doc, we have some NFL news. We also are finally talking about basketball.
I think it's a good time to jump into basketball. I think it's a good time. I mean, you know, in the beginning, obviously there's hot takes, right? There's so many hot takes, and then you have, you know, people jumping to conclusions. You got all kinds of things. So I think now, after the first 20 to 25 games, first quarter is out of the way. You get a chance. But first, before we get there, we're going to talk about the NFL news that we came across. That could have some implications for some teams. Starting with the old skins, the Washington old skins, losing tight end Logan Thomas for the season.
Yep.
He did have the MRI, and it has been confirmed as a torn ACL. Although he is still undergoing testing, it is believed that he will be placed on IR. And we'll see if the surgery is going to happen soon.
And unfortunately, just to add more gravel to the bad news for the Washington football team, pass rusher Bonte Sweat, who missed the last four games with a fractured jaw, was expected to return to practice today. However, now has tested positive for COVID. So now he's expected to be out for the next 10 days, which of course will be another two games.
Right. That is so rough. And the Washington football team has been playing so well. Like I said, last week when they played the Raiders, I kind of figured that they would play well, but they have a good enough defense to where I think they'll be okay without him for 2 weeks. I think they'll be okay. They really built some really good pieces there, but definitely prayers up to him. The Seattle Seahawks, although earned a big win on Sunday, they lost their Pro Bowl, quotation marks, safety Jamal Adams for the season.
If you become a Pro Bowler, you're always referred to as a Pro Bowler. So I get why you said that.
I know.
But that's how they refer to him.
He tore his labrum and suffered additional shoulder damage, which will require season-ending surgery to repair. Obviously, he just got the extension, which questionable in my opinion. But
unfortunately, that's gonna now look, you know, looking back on it now. Of course, we have the ability of hindsight now. But of course, Doc was saying it was just bad completely. Now a lot of people are going to say it's a bad contract.
In other news, the New Orleans Saints release wide receiver Kenny Stills.
Yep.
This is his second time with the Saints, but he did drop a pass last week that, of course, resulted in an interception. I mean, like I said, it was a couple things that really, really looked bad in that game. But, I mean, some of the catchable passes were dropped, but I don't think that's it. I just think that it's just one of those things that they probably looked at it and said, hey, you know, we're going to move on and try to get some of these young guys in, you know?
Yep. And speaking of other news, and I don't know if you mentioned this yesterday, but Keenan Allen's placed on COVID-19 protocol, as well as New Orleans Saints, which, of course, we were just talking about. Defensive end Cameron Jordan was also placed on the reserve / COVID-19 list as well.
No, and I thought we were almost getting beyond this. Like, we were so close. Like, we're so close. And I mentioned that maybe 2 weeks ago how, you know, last season it was, you know, every week, you know, we would have someone on the COVID list. But this year it's been like, you know.
And the issue is it is every week. It's just that now they're reserving it for people who are much more well-known. Like, it's always happening. I've been seeing it every single week.
I don't think so. I think last year it was way more frequent.
Well, last year too, I mean, we all had the scare of COVID and it was still fresh. It was still new. And, you know, there was so many mysteries around it. I mean, it's still a lot of mysteries around it.
It was nuts.
Let's not act like it's completely understandable because it's not. But, you know, for our society, we feel like we have a much better handling on top of it. That it's not, you know, bang, 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 whenever someone tests positive.
True. But we'll see. I mean, I know, speaking of the COVID-19 testing and the, you know, being on that wave, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, big shout outs to your Buccaneers. I think only... this is the first time you actually had a COVID diagnostic done on your team this year, was, of course, the big news that happened last week.
Well, then that's the problem. It's like, remember, we talked about how 100% of the team was vaccinated.
What did I say, though? What did I say?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
then. Now you're getting it, Doc.
So I'm curious as to, you know, so I mean, he probably brought the card to the Buccaneers organization, like, hey, here's my card.
I kind of hope he didn't, like, just give it to Bruce Arians, like, here's my card. Like, I kind of
hope he went to
the team doctor or something like that.
Yeah, he probably gave it to, like, an intern or something, and they were like, oh, yeah, looks legit to me, you know, and that's kind of, it's kind of buns, but we don't have to go back to that.
Nope.
But speaking of the COVID-19 testing and the disciplines, the Texans are cutting ties with veteran starter Zach Cunningham. And Zach Cunningham is really good. He played in 7 of the 10 games, 67 tackles, which is second most on the team. He was inactive this past week due to the COVID-19 test. And also, he's been disciplined a few times this year. It stinks because they just extended him in 2020 for $58 million. They dropped his base salary to $990,000, so he could be a claimed target on the waiver wire.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see who picks him up. Whoever picks him up is going to be huge.
Well, and the problem is like the issue is whether or not if he decides to get picked up by a team, whether or not he's going to follow that team's protocol when it comes to COVID. Because I would have automatically said, like, you know, him going to the Patriots would be amazing, but.
Right, but here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I mean, the Texans stink, so it's like, do you really like? Why would you follow protocols of a team that you don't really probably want to play on anymore? You know, and it stinks that it would be that way. But instead of requesting a trade,
but it also hurts your reputation when looked at from other teams as well. Like, yes, you don't want to do it because you don't like playing for that team, but now you're hurting your own reputation, which means you're hurting your own stock when it comes to you getting picked up by another team if you get waived or potential trade destinations.
That's true. And I don't know what teams would even be interested.
No.
You know, I don't even know.
Again,
I'm sure.
The issue isn't whether or not he has a talent. You just said he's really, really good.
He is pretty solid.
This is now, you know, dealing with stuff that could get him onto the field from a health standpoint.
I know one team that Sports Illustrated is saying is that the Bengals should be interested in Zach Cunningham. So we'll have to wait and see what team jumps on that opportunity.
The Chargers would be a great pickup.
Yeah, a team like that. You know, I won't say Tampa. I would say maybe the team that a lot of teams are hunting, right? So it's like, You know, your depth has to be strong.
You know, a lot of those teams that's within that 5 to 10, mm-hmm. you know, seed currently in their respective conferences hunt to make it into the playoffs.
Exactly. Exactly. And last NFL news here, we have the Giants are gearing up to start backup QB, former Bulldog, Jake Fromm this week in their matchup with the Chargers. Fromm, obviously notable, you know, leading Georgia for all those years that he did. You know, yep. he did very well with following Mike Glennon's concussion protocol in this week's loss to Miami. They have to get ready to start Fromm, who, honestly, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, really
give me
plant himself. Yeah, exactly. Plant himself in the starting lineup. And we could see the end of the Daniel Jones era if he's able to do well.
We'll see what happens. I know, but you see what we'll see what happens after the game.
You know how these things work. That's why I'm going to say this. I'm not saying he's going to dominate. I'm just saying he has an opportunity. That's my word.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, professional sports is the land of opportunity. You just have to take your opportunity.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, Fromm is from a championship pedigree, mm-hmm. And he has a great opportunity ahead of him. But that's enough of that gridiron news. Let's get over to this basketball news. Let's start with the unfortunate injury to CJ McCollum, suffering a collapsed lung.
It's not even an injury. That's like the worst thing can happen from, you know, health failing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's why I'm trying to, I didn't know if he got hit. The news just came out. I didn't know if he got hit and something happened. Because I don't think a collapse, your lung just doesn't collapse on its own, from my understanding.
No, it was, it escalated from mm-hmm. one thing that happened. It was a lower abdominal tendinopathy. And then it, you know, escalated up into a collapsed lung. And I believe he also had, like, health issues along with that, too, which didn't help out. But of course, we are giving him, you know.
Oh, no, I think Dame Lillard has that abdominal tendinopathy thing.
Oh, it was Dame?
Yeah, Dame has that. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like,
Well, I remember they were saying that CJ was ill. So I didn't know if it was due to the illness that the collapsed lung has happened.
I think he might have. Is this like a pneumonia kind of thing?
I think so.
I guess it's a condition where air leaks into the space between the lungs and chest wall.
Yep.
And I guess the force of it, I guess, could cause the lung to collapse, which is really crazy. Mm-hmm. The human body is really crazy, but we definitely wish, you know, quick recovery. Not even quick recovery, just safe recovery.
Yeah, safe recovery.
You know, this is not even one of those things where you even worry about a person's career. You know, you just hope that he can recover from this because it sounds really, really serious. And obviously, somebody that runs up and down the court, you know, you have to be able to breathe. And I can see some of the symptoms being really, really close to that of COVID. Obviously, shortness of breath. Cough, some of those things. So
yeah, but we've read stories of, you know, basketball players who, you know, died on the court due to those type of respiratory issues.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then you know trying to play through it. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I understand you want to have, you know, you have to have heart, but like there has to be a limit.
Right. Exactly. So we'll definitely wish him a recovery. As well as prayer for Dame. That sounds like two conditions that I'm not even sure mm-hmm. how that comes about, but I'll definitely be praying for them and hope that, like, you know, they can recover from those. But for the first time, Doc and Prof for 2021 is going to go through these power rankings. Interesting enough, the big turnaround here, number one, the Golden State Warriors. Steph is back, 19-4, number three in offense, number one in defense. Defensive rating of 100.2. They're really dominating.
What is that we keep talking about? Like, you know, people were waiting for the Warriors to plateau off the cliff. And that's what happened last season. Of course, all the health issues and stuff like that, too.
Right.
It's not like they're not good.
True. No, that's true.
Like, outside of the injuries, they don't even have Clay back. Mm-hmm. They're still a really, really good young team. But that was what happened last season. They were a good young team, but they just wasn't winning games. Now they're winning games. So this is essentially a turnaround of 1 year, where a lot of the inexperienced guys are now, you know, got that experience and it's translated over to the court. So I'm not surprised. But we're acting like this is some kind of miraculous phenomenon.
The Warriors are like, do I have your attention now?
Yes. But we're sitting there acting like, oh, well, you know, Steph is playing better than before. No, he's been playing amazing. It's just that the team wasn't winning.
Yeah, big time. But number two, we had the Phoenix Suns, who went on a tear, I think, as the Rockets were losing 15 in a row. I want to say the Suns won, like...
It was like 14 in
14,
a row.
14, yeah. So it's like, it was really, really nuts.
Who actually lost their first game. I want to say it was against the Warriors to snap that streak.
Yes, it was actually. It was. But they have this, I didn't even realize that I didn't realize the NBA went by weeks, but we're in week eight, I guess, of the NBA season. And they have the Spurs and the Celtics coming up. But when you look at it, I mean, everybody's playing really, really well. You know, they're clicking. I mean, they were this close to winning the championship, an eye level to winning the championship. It seems like they're still hungry. And they were number two last week. The Warriors were number one, moving up number three from five, the Milwaukee Bucks, 15-9. Giannis is showing, you know, that he's more than just a one-time, you know, wonder. I mean, they're 15-9, but right now they're playing very, very well defensively. They're number eight. One-time
wonder? He's a generational talent.
Yeah, but, you know.
Just celebrated his birthday, too, so happy birthday to him. And the team won as well.
There you go. But some people might say that this is a one-time thing.
Their defense has drastically improved, which, you know, was an issue for them. At the beginning of the season, I'm not talking about last season, I'm looking at just this season by itself. But I think, you know, Giannis each year has made another step up in his game, but his contemporaries within the team too has also helped out as well. Like, it's just been, you know, everyone taking their game up a little bit more.
I can agree with that. And of course, they're waiting for DiVincenzo and Brooke Lopez to return. Exactly. So that's when you need those other people to step up, like you're saying. So I definitely get it. But I'm moving on to number four here, a team that had a lot of high expectations. Last week, they were number six, and that's the Chicago Bulls. I mean, you know, top 10 in most categories here. I think they've been playing really good. I know they started off pretty hot. 16-8 is a good start to the season. You know, like I said, first 25 to 26 games or so, they look like the team that we expected. DeMar DeRozan, who of course expected to go to the Lakers, but wound up ending up with the Bulls with Lonzo.
I think it's going to turn out to be much more beneficial.
I agree. And the East is still so open. You know, it's so... I would say
both conferences are open. I can't even say that the West is top heavy anymore.
I would say that the East is probably a little more open than the West. It might not be huge.
No, the margin isn't huge anymore.
remember when I said the Knicks will probably land between 4-8? I mean, I still believe that. I mean, I think we have a wager on that somewhere. I forget what it is, but
really, we have a wager on that.
I believe so. I believe we did have a wager on that. I can't remember what it was, but
I think it was like $300 if they
landed 4-8.
Yep.
4-7 or something like that.
It was it was 5-8. It wasn't 4-8.
I feel like it was 4-8.
It was 5-8. Because you wanted to give yourself that number 4 seed as a buffer in case there was a tiebreaker. Okay. But I'm like, I'm not letting that happen.
I get it. But number 5 here, we got the Utah Jazz moving up from number 7. Again, they're number 1 in offensive rating, which I don't think is talked about at this point. You know, they do a great job. Obviously, Mike Conley, you know, playing very, very well.
With him coming back, like, you could tell how different this team plays with him and without him.
Yeah. But I mean, this team, they've been playing good the last couple of years. I think it's just a matter of them taking it to the next level.
Yep.
They're taking it to the next level, 16-7. They're playing pretty well. Defensively, a little lower than I would expect it to be, ranked 11.
Because it's the game now is three-point shooting. Game now is three-point shooting. So, you know, outside of Rudy Gobert getting, you know, some blocks whenever someone decides to drive the ball, like, it's mainly perimeter defending.
Yeah. And number 6, we got the Brooklyn Nets, 16-7. They were number 3 last week, falling down to number 6. I think they lost a couple of games.
Yep.
And some winnable games, too, by the way. And then they won some really close ones. The last couple of games have been really, really close for them. Obviously, they don't talk about that guy that doesn't want to get the COVID vaccine. They don't really talk about that guy anymore. At least I don't hear it. But I'm wondering if they really need to square that away in order for them to progress forward, whether that's via trade or via some kind of deal where they bring him back. Because right now, it looks like they miss him.
I still think it's too soon. I feel like that's one of those situations where, yeah, right now it seems like the best thing in the world to do, and then suddenly, like, Murphy Law hits.
Well, and I'm saying, like, I'm not saying to, like, cut him or anything, because, I mean, you don't want to do that. But,
unlike football, like, you have to pay the rest of that salary.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm thinking, like, you know, go ahead and work out that trade, you know, mm-hmm. send him somewhere. So you can get some assets that'll help, because right now Kevin Durant's playing a lot of minutes, and you want that. You don't want that wear and tear, you know, obviously in the first quarter of the season, that wear and tear on one of the biggest stars in the league. But we'll have to wait and see. Moving up from 16-7, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not the best team offensively, but one of the best defensive teams right now, rated in the league, 104.7. You know, between, I would say, the rookie and Jared Allen, I think, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, I think they've been, you know, kind of giving us a little twin tower action.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they're not as offensively dominant, you know, as Tim and, you know,
didn't know how proficiently Jared Allen could be on the offensive side of the ball, though.
He never really got a shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was always, you know, relied upon to just be a shot blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cleveland, you know, they need obviously, offensively, I mean, they're 19th, but 107 points a game is really, really good. But, I mean, moving up from 16-7, that's pretty awesome for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Number 8, we have the Miami Heat, which was last week. They were at number 4. Obviously, still a pretty solid team. Their defensive efficiency, I think, is probably a little low for them. But I know that Bam Adebayo is out. And then, you know, they also and still trying to gel some things together.
Yep.
They're still scoring pretty well. I think they'll always be good scorers. But defensively, they have some work.
Yeah, and they know, like, if their defense get better, their rankings on this list is going to get better, and their record's going to reflect it as well, too. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. You know, of course, last year being an anomaly still,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're still there, folks.
True.
Give them that respect.
All right. And rounding out number 9 and 10, we have the Celtics moving up from 11 and the 76ers moving up from 13.
Yeah.
The Celtics number 9, the 76ers number 10. I think this is one of the things where it's too early. I know the Celtics had some injuries early on. So their ranking might be, you know, a little skewed. And the 76ers trying to figure out what to do with this Ben Simmons kid. They don't talk about it, but again, in my opinion, I think it's still another thing to go ahead and settle.
Now, this one I agree with. I think this one you should find what type of good deal. Don't sit there and try to, you know, be a thief in the night, Mr. Who he must not be named because Doc don't want to hear his name.
Don't talk about that guy.
But they're still playing relatively decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say it's, you know, high seeding good, but like it's still really, really good. I mean, they're only one game out of five above 500, but I mean,
no, I get it. But last topic here, we had a hot take, a pretty good take from Charles Barkley and the Lakers. Just wanted to get a quick take from you. They're blaming everyone but the stars. It's what Charles Barkley pretty much said. And he's pointing the finger at you, Anthony Davis. How do you feel about their problem?
I feel like we have been riding this carousel for the past 18 years.
Mario Chalmers. Who else? Delonte West, J.R. Smith, and now Russell Westbrook.
Well, now it's Anthony Frank Davis. Vogel. But well, it was
LeBron Frank isn't Vogel. Really playing though. That's it the thing. Frank LeBron's Vogel. Not playing.
Then it was Russell Westbrook. Now it's Anthony Davis. Suddenly now
LeBron's not playing though.
And that's the craziest part is even when he was playing, and it's they still, wasn't winning.
It is Anthony Davis's team, though. I mean, LeBron is a big star.
That's what I've been saying, though, Doc.
Yeah.
Have I not been saying that?
Yeah, it is his team. It is time for him to take that step forward. But, I mean, they're number 20 right now, 12-12. Ranking, I mean, they're not good offensively. They're not good defensively.
No.
They're not doing anything great. Nope. They put all these veterans together, and I understood that.
They're probably, bottom of the league when it comes to free throw shooting.
I think... And this is the last thing I'm going to say, but they should have held on to MVP Caruso.
Who's actually out now.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be out if he played for the Lakers. I think they should have held on to MVP, MVP candidate. But that was good talking about basketball. But Johnny, I know that people heard this podcast on their favorite podcast platform, but if they didn't, they can always go to www.debateamongstfriends.com to review this episode as well as all the previous. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we go over the Thursday night football game preview. We also give you the news, the analysis, and the reads.
Knicks, play better defense, please. And also, stop trying to kill Mitchell Robinson.
Let's go Rockets!
Awkward.